Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready? Are you ready? It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you're hitting us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram at Femi_Abebefe. Check out the show on Twitter at You Better You Bet and the entire network at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. You like our show, you like Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends, at BetMGM Network is where you can find the wagertainment. The whole crew hanging with us here on this Thursday. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Haw, Addie Bates. Nick Costos joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on tonight's Thursday night football game in AFC West rivalry renewed between the Raiders and the Broncos. Broncos be wearing those orange crush throwbacks. Always a good choice when they rock the throwbacks. Like, their current jerseys suck, by the way. Like, the throwbacks are way better than what they're trotting out there on a week-to-week basis. So it'll be a fun aesthetic and a nice jersey matchup tonight on Thursday Night Football. Will it be competitive? We'll talk about that coming up in the next segment. But at least the jerseys will be on point between the silver and black and Broncos country. But as always, if you miss anything across these 4 hours, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And because we're so kind and putting the content on there for you to consume in on-demand fashion, the least you could do is subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. We have three guests that will be joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 5:20 Eastern time. Professional sports bettor, part of the Hammer HQ. Our guy, Joey Knish, will stop by to give us his best bets in college football. Anything on the Detroit Lions taking on a wounded Washington Commanders team? But we'll talk mainly college football with our guy Knish at 5:20. And then to begin the Power Hour at 6 o'clock Eastern time, NBC's lead betting analyst, co-host of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, Jay Croucher, will check in to give us his thoughts on Week 10 in the NFL. Some big picture topics, NFL awards, NBA awards, as we're a couple weeks into the regular season. We'll pick the mind of Jay Croucher coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern. And then at 6:20 Eastern, professional sports bettor, founder of the Hammer HQ, co-host of the Forward Progress Show, Rob Pizzola, will give us his best bets for Week 10 in the NFL. So can't wait to talk to Knish, Jay, and Rob all throughout these 4 hours. And we can't wait to hear from you. Go ahead, the real ones out there. Let us know on YouTube or on Twitch your favorite bet for tonight's Thursday night football game between the Raiders and the Broncos. Could be a side, total, prop. Favorite bet for tonight's game. Let us know why and drop it in the YouTube chat or in the Twitch chat, and we will give you a tip of the cap later on during the program, you, the real ones out there watching and listening. So, let's get into the show, shall we? And today, and this week in general, is the midway point in the NFL season. And at the midway point, I always find that it's a useful exercise and just a fun experiment to go ahead and take a little bit of inventory on where we stand 9 weeks into the regular season. Now, obviously, we still have the playoffs to go and stuff, so it's not the midway point of the NFL season, but it's the midway point of the NFL regular season. And it always is kind of funny to go back and look at some of the preseason predictions you might have put out there. Like this morning, I was looking at some of the ones that I had. I had the Indianapolis Colts finishing in last in the AFC South. They're going to win the division by multiple games. How about that one? Houston, yeah, Tennessee is going to be the second place team. No, actually, Tennessee is going to fire their head coach. That's what's going to happen. You know how I felt about the Raiders. I had the Broncos in last place, which, as I said on yesterday's show, that being Wednesday, that tonight's Thursday Night Football game is the Femi Ebefe Mea Culpa Bowl between the Raiders and the Broncos. Dead wrong about those two teams coming into this season. NFC, not crazy wrong. I mean, I had the Falcons win in the South. That appears to be very wrong. I had the Commanders making the playoffs. You know, a lot of injuries. I didn't know Jaden Daniels was going to get hurt three times this year. Like, a lot of injuries. But for the most part, normal teams, Niners, yeah, the Lions. I did not have the Rams in the playoffs, though. I must admit that. I thought the back injury with Matthew Stafford was going to be problematic. Clearly, he has been able to manage the back injury, so he is all good. And the Rams are all good in the thick of the NFC West race. So those are some of the misses, if you will, at the start of the season. Those predictions were given out here in this very segment on the NFL opening night eve. But let's talk about what's currently happening as we're about to get started with Week 10 later on tonight in the Rocky Mountains. So our current AFC playoff picture, because I want to go through what I think is going to happen by the time we get to the end. AFC playoff picture, how the playoffs will play out, same as in the NFC, and ultimately who will win the Super Bowl. I do have a revised Super Bowl champion after picking Packers over Bills at the beginning of the season. So our current AFC playoff picture, which I think five of these teams will make the playoffs, two of them I'm going to have on the outside looking in. So your current picture, the Colts are the one seed, the Patriots are the two, Denver's the three, Pittsburgh is the four, Buffalo's the five, you have the Chargers as the six, and the Jaguars as your seven seed. I think the six and the seven are going to miss the playoffs. And from a betting standpoint, you're getting some pretty decent plus money on both of those teams to miss the playoffs. The Chargers, who last Sunday lost their left tackle Joe Alt for the rest of the season, this is already coming off of losing Rashawn Slater in training camp, they now have backup offensive tackles. That O-line is in shambles. They're plus 185 to miss the playoffs. Now, they have an incredibly high leverage game this Sunday against the Steelers, but like, you don't have to squint too hard to see the Chargers on the outside looking in, despite how much trust we have in their head coach quarterback combination, that being Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. So Chargers plus 185 to miss, I'm down with that. Jaguars plus 125 to miss, I had to do a double take that we were still getting plus money. I understand they're in the playoffs right now, but like, let's be for real. This is not a good football team. And you know how you know they're not a good football team? Because they're a one-point favorite against the Davis Mills-led Houston Texans. That's how you know the Jacksonville Jaguars are not a good football team. Plus 125 to miss the playoffs on Jacksonville. So let me get to who I think will be in the playoffs in the AFC. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to be your one seed. I felt that this entire season. I felt that before the season started. I think things are going to shape up really nicely for the Buffalo Bills. Defense looks like it's playing better. So I have Buffalo as your one seed, your AFC East champion. I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to run down the Pittsburgh Steelers and win the North. I do have Baltimore, though, as the three seed in the AFC. We'll get to more of that coming up a little bit later. The AFC South, it's the Colts. I mean, that's just kind of what it is. The AFC West, I know where things stand right now. Kansas City is still going to win that division. And I do think Kansas City is going to be your two seed in the AFC. They're plus 130 right now to win the West. I wouldn't bet that today because I think Denver's going to win tonight against the Las Vegas Raiders. So you probably get a better price tomorrow, not like by drastic amounts, but maybe plus 130 becomes plus 140 or plus 150. You don't lose anything waiting unless, of course, the Denver Broncos lose, which I don't think anyone's expecting against the Las Vegas Raiders. As your five seed, I think Denver gets in as the five. I think New England is your six seed. And I reverse course. I have the Pittsburgh Steelers rounding things out in the AFC. I didn't think Pittsburgh would make it. And I talked about the Steelers when they were heading into that game against the Cincinnati Bengals. I said, this team is fraudulent. They're not a playoff team. They will be on the outside looking in. But hey, I didn't know that Joe Alt was going to miss the rest of the season. And I think you see the Steelers take the spot of what would have been the Chargers spot. This game on Sunday is massive for both of those two teams. Like, you can make an argument the winner of that game is probably going to be your seventh seed. I could get down with that argument, but I do think the Steelers get the seventh seed and kick the Chargers out of the playoffs. So the wild card, I mean, Chiefs, they're going to beat the Steelers in the 2-7 matchup. That, you don't have to think twice about that one. Patriots at Ravens. That's fun. I do think the Ravens win. Like, the Ravens seem to have their issues when they see the Chiefs or the Bills. I do think they beat the New England Patriots, although Vrabel is a very good head coach, especially in the playoffs. I have the Colts beating the Broncos in the 4-5 matchup, which is very intriguing with that Denver defense against Daniel Jones in the playoffs. Like, we've only seen two playoff games from Daniel Jones. Good against Minnesota, horrendous against the Eagles. Like, let's see what it looks like this year, but I do think the Colts have just enough in that rematch of the leverage game that we saw in week two earlier this season. So I have all four division winners getting to divisional weekend. I like the Bills over the Colts, even though that game is very, very scary if you're the Buffalo Bills. And I have the Chiefs over the Baltimore Ravens. Like, it's Chiefs-Ravens. It's Mahomes versus Lamar. It's January. Like, until you see Baltimore actually win one of those games, I'm not sure how you could justify picking them. So, like we saw last year, once again this year, your AFC title game is Chiefs against the Bills. This time, though, in Buffalo, in the last game at Highmark Stadium before the Bills move into that nice stadium across the street next season. Unfortunately for Buffalo, they get closed out like they have every single January in this Josh Allen era. I got the Kansas City Chiefs going back to the Super Bowl, and it's so funny that this might happen. Closing out Highmark Stadium to go to a fourth consecutive Super Bowl, something that no team has ever done except for the Buffalo Bills in the early 90s. How fitting would that be? But I have the Kansas City Chiefs winning in Buffalo a fourth consecutive AFC title. Now, we spent most of the time on the AFC because, to be frank, the NFC is not as interesting. Currently, the NFC playoff teams, Eagles is the one, Tampa's the two, Seattle's the three, Green Bay's the four, you have the Rams at the five, the Niners at the six, and the Lions at the seven. Spoiler alert, these are your seven NFC playoff teams. I think we're just playing out the string in the NFC. These are your play. Take a photo. Take a picture. Write it down. Send it to somebody. These are your seven NFC playoff teams. Now, the seeding, I think, will shake up a little bit. It will be different than what we see today. But I do believe wholeheartedly these are the teams who will be in the NFC playoffs. And the Eagles, they're going to win the NFC East. Like, it's the Commanders are banged up. The Cowboys are not a good team. The Giants are not a good team. Philly's going to win the division, barring something like, I don't even know what you would have to concoct for the Philadelphia Eagles to not win this division. The North, that's where it gets tricky. And right now, Green Bay's leading, but I think the Detroit Lions run them down. And this is going to be a massive game coming up in a few weeks here on Thanksgiving, Packers at the Lions. Like, Detroit, I think, will win that game, and they just seem a little bit more consistent to me. I know what happened last Sunday. They lost to the Minnesota Vikings, and yeah, like, you could poke some holes. The O-line's banged up. Let's see what Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell later on this Sunday when they take on Washington. But ultimately, when this team gets healthy, especially on defense, I think the Lions are the most complete team in the NFC. Coaching staff, talent on the roster, I think the Lions are going to be your one seed and win the NFC North. They're plus 125 right now, by the way, to win the North. The South, it's Tampa. They're minus 750. They're going to win the division. The NFC West, it's nip and tuck, man. You can make a case for all three of these teams, whether it's Seattle, San Francisco, or the Rams. We don't turn our back on Ramley. I've learned that through the first half of the season. Prior to the start of the year, I turned my back. I said Stafford's back is just not in a good place. This team is not going to the playoffs. But they burned me. They said, Femi, we're still that team that you believed in last year. I believe in the Rams. I think they get the three seed and they win the NFC West. Despite Seattle looking like an amazing outfit, I think the Rams just get by Seattle and win the division. They're plus 130 right now to win the West. I do think that is a good bet to make on the Los Angeles Rams to win the division. Your wild cards, I have Green Bay as the five, I have Seattle as the six, and I have the Niners closing things out as the seven. So I have three NFC West teams that will be making it to the postseason at the end of this regular season. So let's play out the playoffs, shall we? Eagles hosting the 49ers. Yeah, give me Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia wins that game. Rams hosting the Seattle Seahawks would be the third installment of this game. I think the Rams at home get it done. Although that is a very, very difficult matchup. Like, third time division. Like, yeah, that can be tricky, but I do think the Rams get it done. Packers at the Buccaneers. I think this is where we see Green Bay's upside. Packers over Bucks. When they're in big spots against good opponents, you see the very best of the Green Bay Packers, and their very best is better than Tampa's. In the divisional round, give me Lions over Packers, just because I think Detroit's a much more trustworthy team, even though Green Bay is a scary matchup. And then give me the Rams over the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Almost clipped them last year. I think they get him this year. And we have Matthew Stafford going back to Detroit, where his old mates beat him again in the playoffs. This time, though, in the NFC title game, I have Lions over Rams, which sets up a Super Bowl in Santa Clara between the Chiefs and the Detroit Lions. Once again, at the end of the day, it's Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, it's Steve Spagnuolo, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs over Lions, Super Bowl exacta, 30-1 over at BetMGM. Spoiler alert, that will be your matchup come February, and Kansas City will have the confetti falling down on them once again. We'll tackle the top stories from throughout the world of sports next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Ebebefe hanging out with you guys on this Thursday afternoon. 40 minutes from now, we'll hear from Nick Kostos with his thoughts on tonight's Thursday night football game between the Raiders and the Broncos, an AFC West rivalry renewed in the Rocky Mountains. So Nick will rap about that, as well as some other topics from throughout the National Football League. In 20 minutes, we'll get in some NFL awards as we discuss Coach of the Year, Offensive Defensive Rookie of the Year, and Comeback Player of the Year. I think we have a false favorite in Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'll go ahead and say it right now. I don't think Jackson Dart should be the favorite. And we'll discuss that more in depth coming up in the next segment. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern time, is our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, what's going on? How are we doing here on this Thursday?
We're doing good, Femi. Always good to have a nice little conversation in the commercial breaks here. We're talking Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. It's fun. Hey, the narratives might be changing a little bit.
So for those who don't know what Bill's talking about, Bill tweeted a transcript from Colin Cowherd's show about saying he would take Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels. And, you know, Bill has a big Chicago Bears following. Bears banter, doing very, very well. And Washington Commanders Twitter has found the tweet. And it's going great. So let us know, what is happening in your mentions? Have you muted the tweet? What is going on? Because nothing pits fan bases together against each other like a young QB debate.
Yeah, no, I have not muted mentions, but they are out of control. I mean, hundreds of comments. The thing's been viewed 200,000 times. I mean, Washington, D.C. media is running with it now. John Keim, the ESPN reporter, he quote tweeted it. A couple hosts from even from the Odyssey D.C. station, they're jumping in on it as well. People do not want to hear that Caleb Williams is better than Jaden Daniels. And look, he may not be, but it's certainly not as black and white as it was their rookie seasons.
Yeah, you know, like last year we all have Daniels. Like, he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year, leads them to the NFC title game. And now, you know, he's been hurt a few times. He's probably going to miss the rest of this season. And Caleb, hey, Caleb's team, only three losses. Maybe they win against the Giants on Sunday. All of a sudden, you can see some of these Caleb people who've been quiet, like Tyler Morales, right, who's been in our show chat for like 18
months, louder,
talking about Caleb Williams, starting to get a lot louder. So a lot remains to be seen, but a fun story to follow nonetheless. Like, these battles, man, like, just, yeah, they're like, ridiculous. Like,
here's a perfect example. Like, one fan fighting back and going, the only reason that Caleb beat Jaden this year is because of a fumble. Another guy jumps in and goes, who fumbled? Like, it's just like...
These are so crazy.
Like, it's great.
I remember as a Cowboys fan back in 2016, living this with Dak versus Wentz, because it's Cowboys, Eagles. And, oh, like, Eagles fans are like, no, Wentz is the guy. Dak has all this help and blah, blah, blah. And obviously Dak ended up winning that battle there. Yeah. But like, Wentz had the great season in 2017 to where like it went and the pendulum swung the other way. So where, like, the Cowboys struggled, and here goes Wentz looking like the MVP, but then he unfortunately tore his ACL. Like, yeah, it gets people going, man, the young quarterback debates. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I wish you and Bears fans all the best in this debate, and hopefully the Bears going to keep winning games, because I am invested in them in different forms or fashion this upcoming season, or this season, I should say. But let's go ahead and get into what we have to talk about on the program today. What's the number one story we need to know this afternoon?
As it usually is, Femi, it's the NFL, because Week 10 in the National Football League kicks off tonight. Old school rivalry, the Raiders in the Mile High City to take on the Denver Broncos. Broncos currently a 9-point home favorite over Las Vegas. Total points in this one currently 43. Femi, how are you and others making this one legendary over at BetMGM?
Oh, it's a Make It Legendary Thursday here on You Better You Bet. Absolutely love it. Before we get into the bets, just talking about this game in particular. On paper, this is a mismatch. That's why the point spread is 9. Like, Denver should win this game going away, and perhaps by multiple possessions. I mean, they're favored to win by multiple possessions. The way I'm looking at this game, just bets aside, like, not only is this a must-win game for the Denver Broncos, but I was talking about this with Bill and Nick on the show, or on our call early this morning, getting ready for the show. Like, this is one of those, like, must-play-well games for Bo Nix. Like, Bo Nix, I don't think he's good. And you can watch Broncos games. You see Denver's a good offensive line. Sean Payton's a really good head coach. They have a good defense. There's a lot of great surrounding pieces for Bo Nix. So where he doesn't have to be Peyton Manning. He doesn't have to be Drew Brees for this team to succeed. He can just kind of do what he's doing, and they can succeed to an extent. But if they want to get over the hump and win playoff games multiple, like, they need Bo Nix to play better. And if he doesn't play well in this game against this horrendous Raiders defense, that's sounding the alarms kind of worrying. Like, I think that's a, whoa, we have a massive, massive issue if Bo Nix doesn't play well. So, like, just setting the stage for tonight's game, even though on paper, oh, it's Raiders Broncos, it's not going to be that entertaining. I think it is a big time, like, fact-finding mission of, hey, Bo Nix better show us that he is, like, says some kind of capabilities as an NFL starting quarterback, because everyone who does is lighting this Raiders defense on fire, which takes me to my bet for tonight's game. I like the over. And I know I said I'm not going to do totals anymore in the NFL. I'm going to stay away. I don't want to do totals because you never know how these things go. You never know which way the wind will blow, literally, in this case. But I like over 43 because this, to me, feels like one of those games. And Sean Payton, as great of a coach he is, he's got rabbit ears. He knows what the narrative is about his team. He knows what people have been saying about Bo Nix. Like, he knows. He is going to look to make Bo Nix look like the greatest quarterback of all time tonight. I think Denver's going to be airing it out. I think they're going to be pedal to the metal. I think they're going for style points tonight. I think Denver, they could easily score into the 30s. So then, I mean, can the Raiders just get us to 14 points? Can we get to 17 points? I actually think they can. With no Patrick Surtain the second, and we see what the Raiders offense looks like with a healthy Brock Bowers. Like, let us not forget, I mean, I know it's week one, and week one gets wacky. The Raiders did beat the New England Patriots with a healthy Brock Bowers. And then he got hurt in that game and tried to play in like two or three more games and looked like a shell of himself. But now he's healthy. And that offense looked a lot more explosive against the Jacksonville Jaguars this past Sunday. So I think we get points tonight. And the total's at 43. Like, we can't get to 44, 45. Like, this, we're not asking to go over 51. So I like the total quite a bit tonight. I will be betting over 43 between these two teams. But one thing to keep in mind with that, though, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, he is in Denver and just tweeted about an hour ago saying that wind gusts are hitting at 34 miles per hour, but he said that there's a chance the wind calms down before kickoff. So I wouldn't get too scared seeing that tweet. Looks like it's going to calm down. Nothing was in the forecast of like windy during the night game in Denver. So I think we should be good to go, but just something to keep in mind if it is a little bit windy out there in the Rocky Mountains. All right, let's get to what everyone else is betting with the game, though. 77% of the bets, 82% of the handles on the Broncos laying 9. 57% of bets and 62% of the handle is on the over. I'm with you, folks. I like over 43. 52% of the bets are on Raiders money line plus 360, but 90% of the handles on the Broncos money line at minus 475. A lot of money line parlays are starting tonight with the Denver Broncos. As for the most popular player props, fifth most popular, Ashton Jeanty under 15.5 rushing attempts. Fourth most popular, RJ Harvey, over 13.5 receiving yards. Third most popular, Michael Mayer, over 21.5 receiving yards. Second most popular, Brock Bowers, over 64.5 receiving yards. And the most popular player prop over at BetMGM, where we look to make it legendary, Ashton Jeanty, over 17.5 receiving yards. Most popular anytime TD score, Cortland Sutton at plus 160. In fact, the top five most popular anytime TD scores are all Denver Broncos. So the public likes the Denver Broncos. I like the over. I think we get points in the Rocky Mountains. Bill, hit me with the next story.
Well, Femi, the big news earlier this week with the NFL trade deadline, of course, was the New York Jets. One of the players the Jets sent was Sauce Gardner. He went to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for two first-round picks. He's been in concussion protocol, but he has cleared that protocol. He is expected to play this Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, Femi, where the Colts are a 6.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, funny how you clear protocol once you get traded. Kidding. I'm kidding. But good for Sauce Gardner for clearing the protocol. Because, yeah, we're all excited to see what this is going to look like for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, it's not going to be the full allotment of corners. Javarius Ward, he is still on IR dealing with a concussion of his own. That's the concussion that he suffered in warmups before the game against the Arizona Cardinals. But Sauce Gardner at least gives them a nice boundary corner. Like, I know we had Baldy on, which, speaking of another tweet that's going viral, go to the You Better You Bet Twitter account and our clip that we posted from earlier this morning of Brian Baldinger saying that Sauce Gardner is overrated. Like, I agree, but that doesn't mean he's bad. Like, overrated doesn't necessarily mean that the guy is bad. It's just that he's not as good as people think. He's not as good as the reputation, but he's still a nice boundary corner, and it should help out a Colts defense that needs a lot of help in the secondary. But with the point spread, that's where it gets interesting. Because the Atlanta Falcons, they have some injuries on the offensive line. Let's make sure that those are okay before Sunday's game. But I think Atlanta can keep this game competitive. 6.5 is a big number. Like, you can maybe talk me into 6. Now that there's a hook out there, like, this is a bet on the Atlanta Falcons. I'll put a little bit on the money line just because I think Atlanta kind of has that upside with the skill position guys that they have with Drake London and Bijan Robinson, etc. But plus 6.5 is a bet. Atlanta needs to win this game. This is one of those kitchen sink kind of games. And yes, Indianapolis, oh, they're going to look to bounce back. And the only reason they lost to the Steelers is because of the turnovers. I get that. I understand that completely. But that's fully baked into this market. I don't think you're getting sort of any sort of like discount on Colts in a bounce back spot. In fact, I think you're paying a pretty big tax. So it's Dirty Birds for me over in Berlin. Early game Sunday morning. Let's roll with the Atlanta Falcons plus 6.5. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, the Tampa Bay Bucs have gotten healthier over the last couple of weeks, but they still have some key players dealing with injuries. Chris Godwin hasn't played since October 5th, not practicing. Bucky Irving hasn't played since September 28th. Not practicing. Now we can add Hassan Reddick into that pile. He's dealing with ankle and knee injuries. He has not practiced this week as well. Bucks have a big matchup this Sunday against the Patriots, and Femi, they may still have some key players out of that one.
Yeah, man, that's a big game that I cannot wait to watch. And also, it feels a little bit to me like this is the Not like the, it feels like the Dark Horse Bowl. Because like if you're going to pick a dark horse in either conference, it's usually Tampa in the NFC. I mean, think about how the Mayfield MVP buzz was going a few weeks ago. Or it's New England in the AFC where everyone's kind of getting hip to, wow, the Patriots are good. And oh my goodness, look how easy their schedule is. Like these are two teams that folks are really, really interested in. I'm glad that we're getting them facing off each other. It's like a nice little like litmus test for them. I lean towards Tampa. But man, if we get to three, I wouldn't hate anybody taking Patriots plus three. Like, it just, though, feels like New England might be that trendy underdog. Like, you get those every now and then, especially with a team that's been out of sight, out of mind for a couple of weeks, and that's Tampa as they're coming off of the bye. And here's New England just keep stacking dubs on top of dubs. That's what they've been doing all season long. And I feel like people are going to say, oh, man, I can get points with Drake May. He might be the MVP right now in the NFL. I'd be a little bit careful with that thought process. As long as Christian Gonzalez is playing in this game, or if he's not playing in this game, like I think that would be a really, really big blow for New England. So to me, I'm not betting this game, but I'm getting pretty close to saying, you know what? I might just bet Tampa under a field goal because I do think Tampa's going to win. And what are the chances that it lands on one or two? So if I had to bet it, someone says you must bet it at these current prices, it would be the Buccaneers laying 2.5. That's the bet that I would make ahead of Sunday's game.
All right, Femi, let's move over to the East.
I didn't give you the
That's
all right. I love Bill on red. That's my bet. Right. I'll tap the chest. Bill,
we got
Bill
it.
Hit me with the next one.
All right, we got it, Femi. How about the Lakers and Luka? The Lakers beat the Spurs last night, 118-116. Luka scores 35 in the win. How about the start of the year for Luka? Averaging 40 points, 11 rebounds, 9.2 assists. Lakers are 7-2, a game back in the Thunder for the top spot in the conference. And Femi, in case anyone was wondering, Nico Harrison's Dallas Mavericks are 2-6 in last place.
I mean, my goodness, we're going to get to the Dallas Mavericks a little bit later on in the show. But like, and this is such a pointless exercise about what I'm about to say here, but like, if somebody held a vote for MVP today in the NBA, I think Luka would actually win it. over Wemby, over SGA. The Lakers at 7-2 with LeBron James just dripping in all the outfits on the bench. We have not seen LeBron. Austin Reeves has been banged up. There was no Reeves last night. And Luka doing what he did against his Spurs team, that's actually pretty good. Like I'm a believer in San Antonio because of what they are defensively. Luka has been on one. And this just goes to show you, because like we can all laugh about the men's health cover of the magazine earlier in September, and like what, like oh, like look at Luka during Eurobasket, he looks like he's in shape. Man, that stuff is for real, because Luka does look like he's in shape, and an in shape Luka is a dangerous Luka Doncic. This is a guy that's one of the best, like three or four best players in the NBA, and he gives the Lakers a chance to win every single night. And I did see this nugget: Luka last night passed Michael Jordan for most points through the first five games of a season since the NBA-ABA merger. Luka is on one early on, and if this holds up, the Lakers will be dealt with in the Western Conference. Bill, hit me with the last one before we head to break.
Little hockey, Femi. Caps beat the Blues 6-1 last night, but the story in this one, Alex Ovechkin scores his 900th career goal. Obviously, he becomes the first player in NHL history to reach that milestone.
Yeah, big ups to Ovi for getting this thing done, man. Like, this was, like, it's awesome. It's really cool to see. Last year was awesome seeing him break the record, although we were one game off in that from a betting standpoint. That was a fun experience last hockey season. But, like this was really cool last night. And the Caps, hey, like, now we don't have to worry about this. Now we can just play hockey and not have to say, when is Ovi going to score 900? They can just think things through clearly, starting tonight when they take on the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sid the Kid. On the other side, let's talk NFL awards and who you need to bet to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Thursday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Pepefe hanging out with you guys this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on tonight's Thursday night football game between the Raiders and the Broncos. Can't wait to see what Nick has to say about that. Can't wait to watch that game. Because like I said, I know it's not going to be competitive on paper, at least. Prognosticators, the books, the market. Nobody thinks this is going to be a competitive game. But it is like one of those, all right, Bo Nix, if you are any sort of like starting caliber quarterback, you need to go off tonight against this terrible Raiders defense. So I will be watching very, very closely what Bo Nix does in tonight's game. And also, I like the over. So it'll be fun to root for points. Over 43 is the bet that I will make tonight between the Raiders and the Broncos. If you missed it, about 40 minutes ago, I went over my midseason revised predictions for this NFL season. I have a new Super Bowl champion. Before the season started, Packers over Bills was my Super Bowl. This time now, this week, heading into the second half of the season, none of those teams are making it. Who do I have? Check it out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcast. But let's talk some NFL awards, shall we? We have Coach of the Year, both rookies, and Comeback Player of the Year. And we'll start with Coach of the Year, where, you know what? Maybe it's going to get interesting. Maybe Shane Steichen's not going to go 16-1 and win this award unanimously, as the Indianapolis Colts are coming off a 27-20 loss last Sunday to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Shane Steichen is now once again a plus money price. He is now at plus 150, still the favorite over at BetMGM, but Steichen a little bit closer to the pack, as the Indianapolis Colts still have an awesome record. I mean, they're 7-2. They went 8-9 last year. They're still on pace to be an 11-6 team, maybe even a 12-5 team. I think at 12-5, Steichen's got a very, very great case to win this one. At 11-6, maybe he opens things up for other guys to also have a case as well. But Steichen should still be the favorite, as he is. This week, the Colts take on the Falcons. I like Atlanta in the game, +6.5. I also have a little bit of money line, but I do think it will be a competitive football game. So I don't know if this feels like, oh, like Steichen smash spot at plus 150. Nah, like let's just hold off. Because if they were to lose this game on Sunday, it could get real rocky for Shane Steichen and his candidacy, because it would be back-to-back losses to Pittsburgh and to Atlanta, heading into a bye week where he's out of sight, out of mind, and then coming out of the bye week, it's at Kansas City. And we could go an entire month without the Colts winning a football game if they lose on Sunday. That's how big this game is for the favorite in Shane Steichen. And if that happens, that opens up the door for another candidate to all of a sudden come out the other side and be, hey, now I'm the favorite. Now I'm the front runner once we get to the second half of the season. And that's massive, because we know recency bias is a big deal for the voters. Like, we're all humans. We're all subject to recency bias every now and then. So that's the Shane Steichen part of the equation. The guy that's hot on his heels right now is New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel at plus 175. So we're almost at co-favorite status here for Coach of the Year. Vrabel and the Patriots last year, 4-13. Although Vrabel wasn't a part of that, but the Patriots were 4-13 last year. This season, they're 7-2. Like, they've already won three more games than they won all of last year. And you look at their schedule, like, they might win six more games this season and go 13-4. Like, this team is really good, and they have a very, very easy schedule. Now, this Sunday, it's tricky. They're in a coin flip game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They could definitely lose that game. But the thing Vrabel has working for him, like, let's say the betting market's right, chalk prevails, Tampa wins. Here's what Vrabel has working for him, unlike Shane Steichen. Next week, they host the New York Jets. LOL. Week 12, they're at the Cincinnati Bengals. LOL. Week 13, they host the New York Giants. LOL. And then they have a bye in week 14. It doesn't get any easier. It does not. Vrabel has a very, very nice setup, which is why Sunday's Falcons-Colts game is incredibly high leverage. Like, if the Falcons lose, or sorry, if the Falcons beat the Colts and Steichen loses, like, immediately, before we even see Patriots-Bucks, like, in that 5 minutes before that game starts, Vrabel needs to be, like, a minus 150 favorite. Because even if they lose to Tampa, he's got a very, very easy three-week stretch
after that game, and Indianapolis will be on bye and then having to face Kansas City. So Vrabel is in a very nice spot to win Coach of the Year, despite Steichen getting a lot of the midseason love with the content that we've seen early this week. All the voters and voter adjacent people starting to do that. Oh, here are my midseason awards. Steichen's been winning that. But Vrabel's pretty close behind Shane Steichen. We've seen a couple of people look to praise Mike Vrabel. I want to mention a couple other names here before we move on to Offensive Rookie of the Year. Mike McDonald of the Seattle Seahawks, he's starting to get some love right now from a bunch of people in the media for Coach of the Year. I mean, this is Seattle week right now. Sam Darnold MVP, JSN Offensive Player of the Year, Mike McDonald Coach of the Year. Like, everyone's falling in love with Seattle because they're awesome. The team's really, really good. And we all watched Sunday Night Football where they destroyed the Washington Commanders. McDonald is now plus 900 at BetMGM. Last year, and this is the big hangup for me with Mike McDonald. Last year, man, they went 10-7. Like, you usually don't win the award when you're coming off a season where you won 10 games. Unless you're telling me that the Seahawks might go 15-2. Hey, they run the table. Hey, man, Mike McDonald's probably going to win. And if that's the case, like, so be it. But would you bet 9-1 for the Seahawks to run the table? I wouldn't. I wouldn't even bet 9-1 for them to just lose one more game and go 14-3. Because, like, that's kind of what's required when you go 10-7 the previous year. And I know there's, like, people that, not necessarily voters, but are voter-adjacent types that talk about, like, oh, like, we always give it to the exceeding expectations guy. Like, what about the guy that just has a really well-coached team? Yeah, like, in theory, that's great. But, like, how the voters behave and their patterns over the years, it's usually the improvement guy. So I wouldn't fall for the outlier hipster opinion of how this is going to go, because that's what it feels like is happening this week with people who are praising Mike McDonald. I'm not saying that it's not justified, because I think he's done a tremendous job, but we're trying to predict what people are going to do. And usually they don't go for the guy like Mike McDonald. Another guy real quick here before we go to O'Roy, Kyle Shanahan. The Niners right now are 6-3. Last year they were 6-11. And he, to me, is the circumstance guy. But once again, and who knows? Because I thought that the guys would be healthy by this time. Like a month ago, I was like, oh, man, everybody will be healthy by, like, around Halloween in November. They're still not healthy. So if this continues and they just keep winning games, he might actually have a chance to steal this award from the likes of a Mike Vrabel or a Shane Steichen. But as it stands right now, I mean, Brock Purdy, I think, is going to come back. I think Brandon Ayuk is going to come back. I think Ricky Pearsall is going to come back. Like, when those guys come back and it's December, nobody's going to be talking about all the injuries that happened in September, October, and November. They're just going to be focused on what's going on in December. So that's where it gets to be a little flimsy for me, for Kyle Shanahan, who's currently 11-1. So Coach of the Year, high leverage, Shane Steichen. He better win on Sunday. Otherwise, I think he might actually lose this award if they don't beat the Falcons in Germany. Let's talk Offensive Rookie of the Year, where I said it in the last segment, and I believe it wholeheartedly. We have a false favorite. Jackson Dart should not be the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Right now, Jackson Dart is minus 135 over at BetMGM. And his stats, you know, they're pretty solid. You know, 10 passing touchdowns, 1,100 yards. He's got 5 rushing touchdowns. People seem to like him quite a bit. Like, he's a star quarterback for a New York team. But the team stinks, man. And even though he's been pretty solid, he's been okay, the biggest story when it comes to the New York Giants is, will Brian Daboll keep his job? Like, that's the biggest story, especially now that Cam Scataboo unfortunately got hurt for the rest of the season. Everyone's talking about Daboll and Shane. And also, like, we know that team success is not the end-all be-all for Offensive Rookie of the Year, but you do need to be on a team that's, like, somewhat respectable. And the Giants' schedule is not going to allow them to be respectable. Like, they're going to have a horrendous record. I think there's too many other good rookies who are doing good things for playoff caliber teams where I think Dart's going to get passed up. And right now, I think this is a hard bet against. And the guy that I would bet on to win Offensive Rookie of the Year this week, and it's a bet that I am placing once we get into the break, it's Colts tight end Tyler Warren at plus 700. Like, usually tight ends don't win this award. In fact, the last one to do it was Mike Ditka. Like, Mike Ditka's rookie season. That was the last Offensive Rookie of the Year who was a tight end. But Tyler Warren is such a big part of this Colts offense. And the Colts being a good team, the Colts being a likely division winner, he's going to be playing in relevant games. Jackson Dart's not going to be playing in relevant games in December. Tyler Warren will be. And he's got 500 yards, 3 touchdowns. And because Emeka Abuka has been banged up the last couple of weeks, now Tampa's coming off of the bye, their stats are starting to look pretty similar. So at price, to me, Tyler Warren plus 700, because also we talk about midseason awards content. Tyler Warren's right there with Emeka Abuka. No one's saying Jackson Dart. The betting market says Dart, but not, the people aren't saying Dart. It's Warren or Abuka. It's one of those two guys. And if we got a coin flip situation or a neck and neck race, give me the plus 700 over Emeka Abuka, who right now is plus 175. So this week, offensive rookie of the year, Colts tight end Tyler Warren at plus 700 is a bet as we head into the week 10 slate. Jackson Dart, miss me with that noise. Like, I don't think he's going to win it. And if he were going to win it, everybody would be saying it's Jackson Dart right now. The fact that they're not, that just goes to show you how people do not believe in his candidacy for offensive rookie of the year. And finally, we'll wrap up with defensive rookie of the year and comeback player of the year. Unfortunately, these ones are not as fun because I think we do have the correct favorites. Right now, Giants edge rusher Abdul Carter plus 125 is the favorite for defensive rookie of the year. At some point, I think this race is going to get fun from a betting standpoint, but right now it's not. Nobody's doing anything. And Abdul Carter's case, and a lot of people have made it this week when they've talked about how they like him for defensive rookie of the year, it's the pressures, the impact in the underlying metrics. That's where Carter really shines because he only has half a sack, mind you. Like, usually big time edge rusher, you're not winning with half a sack, but he's been so good in pressures that people believe the sacks are coming. And also he's just been a really good football player. I do think, however, though, like if someone were to make a splash in the second half of the season, he can be ran down like how Jalen Carter got ran down by Will Anderson a couple of years ago. And finally, comeback player of the year. This was the week where it happened, and it's justified. We now have a new favorite with Christian McCaffrey at plus 120. Back-to-back bad performances by Dak Prescott. Can't do that, man. Meanwhile, here's McCaffrey putting the team on his back with all those injuries that the Niners had. Missed 13 games last year, and he looks like an absolute stud this season. McCaffrey is your rightful favorite for comeback player of the year. On the other side, we'll get Nick's thoughts on tonight's Thursday Night Football AFC West rivalry renewed between the Raiders and the Broncos.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.